Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hey, Alan.
How are you this week?
I'm pretty good.
Good. We're in for a shortened episode. This week will be short. We're just going to hit on some points. We found that time was of the essence this morning. But we've got a bit to talk about. The playoffs are underway. We're a week in. And I hate recording after losses, and we're down 0-2, and I'm not in the mood to even talk about the Jazz right now, but I know we have to.
Yeah, nobody wanted to have the Rockets in the first round, and it's very clear why. And what can we really learn from the first two games? Well, in both games, the efficient field goal percentage was 58-43 Rockets, both games. So, Jazz did not figure anything out between game one and two other than they lost by less points, but they were still both blowouts. And it's very discouraging, and by the time we record next week, this series could already be over. I expect the Jazz to come out Saturday night with a renewed fire. I don't see this being a sweep. I don't know how it'll be prevented from being a sweep. But I just think the Jazz will figure something out. But I have not seen anything I can point to why I think they will from the first two games.
I can. I mean, game two, maybe defensively they aren't playing well, but game two, they missed a lot of shots, wide open shots. I just don't see the Jazz missing that many shots in game three.
I hope you're right. They had the same field goal percentage in both games, too. Game one, it was 39%. Game two, it was 39.8.
Could we call it?
They need to improve somewhere.
Could we call it road woes? I mean, the Jazz missed a lot of open shots, and that's not characteristic of them over the entire game. Short stretches, maybe. The entire game, though, John? Really?
I don't know. Game two, the Jazz missed 30 three-pointers.
Ouch.
8 of 38.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah. So, you know, what they're doing against Houston, defensively, they weren't doing that good against the pick-and-roll, and the Jazz are supposed to be one of the best pick-and-roll defenses in the NBA. They were funneling Harden inside, and that just did not work. They were very clearly doing it on purpose, and Harden was able to get a lot of dishing going on. Let's see, what was his assist? Let me go to that.
He had 9 in one game, and I forget. I think he had a triple-double
in one game.
Yeah.
He did not. He was 29-10 in game one and 8 rebounds. In game two... Game two, he had the triple-double. He was 32-10 and 13.
Well, and in fairness, I have no problem with him funneling to Gobert. I feel like the Jazz's defense isn't on Gobert on those situations. The help side, the weak side, is not coming. So you're getting corner threes from Tucker, and that's death. You're getting backdoor cuts from guys like Capella. That's death. So the help is not coming. Gobert's doing his job. The guards are doing their job. You're just not getting help.
Yeah, yeah. You know, game two started, and the Jazz got a turnover on their first possession, and then the Rockets came over and scored on a pick and roll. And then the Jazz had a turnover on their second possession, and they came back, and I think the second shot was a Harden mid-range. But, like, the game right away, it was just clear as, like, oh, man, they're starting on the bad foot again.
Yeah.
And My whole thing with this was Jazz lost to the Rockets in the playoffs last year. Jazz kept all the same personnel. Jazz are losing to the Rockets in the playoffs this year. And it just really sucks that they got the Rockets in the first round. I think against any other team, that maybe the Warriors, and even then the Warriors lost the game. So I think the Jazz would be doing better against literally any other team in the West. But right. Unfortunately, they're against the Rockets, and they have yet to prove that they know how to handle it.
Oh, and by the way, screw Denver for their little act, because they're down 1 to the Nuggets. So rightfully so, they deserve that one after trying to avoid the Rockets. Anyway, that's... So, no, I don't know. And the turnovers. John, the turnovers. Stupid turnovers, too.
Yeah, 18 in both games. No, hang on. Okay, I was looking at Houston. Jazz actually did better than Houston on turnovers in game 2.
Really?
That felt weird. Houston had 18 to 12 in game 2, and yet... Maybe that's why the Jazz only lost by 20 instead of 30.
Maybe. Well, and in fairness, the Jazz, yeah. Silver lining, people. Silver lining. No, I'm just kidding. Well, they had 6 in that first early going, so they must have righted it for the rest of the way. That surprises me, actually. But I don't know. You're right. It's not a good matchup for the Jazz. I don't know. I'm at a loss. And Donovan took it on himself. He played really bad in game 2. You have to believe that's going to change. And we all thought that it was going to be okay for Donovan this series because they didn't have the Donovan stopper. They didn't have Ariza. They didn't have guys that could stop him. But Houston's clearly throwing 2 and 3 guys at him at one time during the course of the game. And their job is simply to disrupt Donovan and let the rest of the team beat him. And that's working.
Yeah, when it comes to Houston's defense focusing on their ball handlers, it's very clear that they are focused a lot more on Mitchell and Ingles than they are on Rubio.
Yep.
And so Rubio has had more open looks, and he has benefited from that. His shooting was actually pretty decent in both games. He was 5 of 11 in game 1. He was 7 of 17 in game 2. Those are acceptable Rubio shooting numbers. But Joe and Donovan, no. Donovan, 5 of 19 in game 2, 7 of 18 in game 1. Joe Ingles, 1 of 4 in game 1, 3 of 8 in game 2. I mean,
and in
those
fairness
guys need...
For, yeah, they've got to be better. In fairness, in both cases in game 2, they both had open looks, and they just didn't knock them down. How many threes did we see both of them have that just didn't go down in game 2? And that's very uncharacteristic of both of them.
You know, who's due to have a decent shooting night is Jay Crowder. He's streaky, but he's been really bad. He's 1 of 9 in game 1 and 2 of 9 in game 2.
Well, bring on game 3 then. Maybe that's where the difference is. Maybe the Jazz hit shots and suddenly it's a lot easier to defend. The thing is, they're not making the fact they're not making shots, they're not making the Rockets work defensively. They're not. So, you know, Harden doesn't have to work that hard. Tucker hasn't had to work that hard. You can go down right down the list to their shooters, and guys just aren't being made to work that hard on the defensive end. And look what it's doing to them on the offensive end. They're getting anything they want.
Oh, I think they're working hard. It's just paying off. I think they're very clearly focused on who they're going to focus on. You know, they'll leave Derek Favors open for his threes, and you know, they're letting Rubio move around as much as he wants.
Right.
But they are putting in the effort. And
well,
Gobert only got off 6 shots in game 2. They're doing a good job of not letting Mitchell and Ingles go off and not letting Gobert get his dunks that he usually gets.
Right. And I think some of that for Gobert might change once you get home, too. Hopefully you'll get some home cooking reffing. I mean, to be fair, because I think the freedom of movement has not boded well for him in this series, because I think – Houston's got away with a lot of stop, a lot of holding, a lot of pushing and shoving that they really shouldn't be. But that's just me. Maybe I'm just picking at something, trying to find a silver lining. I don't know.
Yeah, Gobert has had the worst plus minus for the Jazz in both games.
Ouch.
Yeah. The Jazz have done better in the lineups where Favors is at the 5. Granted, not as well in game 2. I mean, Favors was still a minus 10, but a lot of that was during the times him and Gobert were on the floor together. Favors was actually a plus 1 in game 1, and they lost by 30. What did they lose
Ouch.
By? 32. He was a plus 1, and they lost by 32.
In fairness, most of the 32 points came in that fourth quarter in garbage time, too, because I think when the starter sat, it was like a 22, 25-point lead or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, game one, yeah. Grayson Allen was minus 12 in 4 minutes. So, yeah.
So, I haven't had a chance to listen. Somebody gave me or suggested me I need to listen to Zach Lowe's podcast. Apparently, he was not into the Jazz yesterday. Really not kind. So if anybody else has listened to it, I'm going to catch up on it. But apparently at the 28-minute mark thereabouts, he roasted the Jazz from what I gather. And I like Zach Lowe a lot. And he's usually got a lot of good things to say, not just about the Jazz, but everybody, but also about the Jazz. But he roasted them on his recent show. So I got to go out and catch that. It's an 0-2 deficit. Jazz look horrible. I picked them in six. Obviously, that was a mistake. They'd have to win four in a row to do that. How do you see the rest of this shaking out, John?
I think I initially said Rockets in six. Actually, I don't remember if I did settle on a number. I didn't. I just figured the Rockets were going to win this. I think the Jazz will get at least one at home. It's looking to me like it's going to be a five-game series unless they seriously figure something out.
Right.
They need. Let me put it this way: if they don't win both home games, then the series is over.
Right. And Devin's not with us this week, and wouldn't you know it, he's the one that said Rockets in five last week, if I remember correctly.
Did he? Oh, okay.
I think he did. No, what? No, he went with the homer pick, so maybe he didn't. Now
yeah,
I can't remember.
I think I swear both of you guys picked the Jazz.
Yeah, maybe that's what. He did go with the homer pick, so never mind. Cancel that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Devin, I'm already calling you out saying you did five in five and I was wrong. My bad. All right, enough Jazz. We hate talking after a loss. I hate talking after two losses about it. It's been horrible. Let's move on to the rest of the NBA playoffs. Let's talk the rest of the series in the West right now. There's some surprises.
Yeah. I'm surprised that Portland went 2-0. I thought for
yes.
sure Oklahoma City would get one of those games, but Portland had decent control in both games. They won them pretty handily.
Yep.
Another one I'm not surprised about is Denver is down 2-1 against the Spurs. I'm surprised that the Clippers were able to get a road win. So good for them. So as of this Friday morning, you have Warriors up 2-1, Portland up 2-0, Denver down 1-2. Those are our home teams. And then, of course, Houston 2-0.
Okay.
So the West is shaping up pretty much how people thought when it comes to what the ultimate results of those rounds are going to be.
So you mentioned Golden State and you mentioned that Clipper win, but you just kind of glazed over that 32-point deficit, and the Clippers come back in the fourth quarter down 32 at one point and win that game. That was a record, by the way. I haven't seen anybody dispute that otherwise. That was an NBA record comeback in the playoffs. It was nasty. Golden State was up big, and then things just came apart. And that was on the road, mind you, too. That was in Oakland that the Golden State Warriors were up 32, and the Clippers came back and won that. So big surprise in the first round there, but I'm with you. The Denver-San Antonio series, the only surprise there is that San Antonio played well enough on the road to get a win. I didn't see that coming. We all talked last week about San Antonio not being a good road team in the West, and here they are hauling off, picking up one on the road. And you're right, they're up 2-1. I expected Denver to get upset. I just wasn't sure it was going to be this round against San Antonio.
Yeah.
So, I'm with you. I'm a little surprised at the Portland OKC game. How much of that, I want to ask you, your opinion, I've seen other people talk about this. How much of that is on Paul George's shoulder?
You cannot discount that. That's very true. I thought Oklahoma City would have an easier time because, you know, you're going up against Cantor and, you know, I just thought while Oklahoma City looked bad towards the end of the season, I thought that was a lot of it was schedule. and that they would be able to turn it on in the playoffs. But when you look at Paul George's shoulder, yeah, I think it's a factor. This looked like it was going to be a big comeback for him, and he's still playing well. I mean, let me pull it. I think he's 27 points in the last game, so he's doing everything he can.
He's not shooting the ball from downtown very well, though. Not at all.
No, he was 2 of 7 from 3 in the last game. But, you know, you also got Westbrook, who was 5 of 20 in shooting. And this is something Locke hammers on. He's one of the least efficient offensive players in the NBA. And I think, in fact, yes, here he is. Okay, 5 of 20 shooting, 14 points, 6 turnovers, a minus 27 on the game.
Wow.
They lost by 20. They're minus 27 with Westbrook on the floor, which means they were plus 7 in those 11 minutes that Westbrook sat.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Okay, question on this note. Does the head coach lose his job if they lose this first-round series for the second year in a row?
Donovan?
Yeah. I got to think he's on the hot
seat. Maybe.
2 years in
Maybe.
A row, and their one claim to losing last year was Carmelo Anthony. They don't have him. They have stability, and they're still going to lose in the first round. And,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they still have a right. They still have an opportunity to win at home, maybe right at chip. But I'm telling you, Donovan's got to be on the hot seat if this series doesn't go well for them.
Well, let's see. Is this his fourth year? 2, 3, 4. Yeah, it's his fourth year. Third year without Durant.
Yep. And the 1 year with Durant, they blew a series lead and did not make it to the NBA Finals, and they were that close.
They were that close. They lost Game 7.
Yep. And I think they were up in that series. They were up 2-1 early or 3-1 early in that series, and then Golden State came roaring back at 1, if I remember correctly.
Probably. See, I look at the Thunder like, okay, they lost Durant. I look at it like when Hayward left the Jazz, how did they recover? Obviously, Durant's a much bigger loss, but they still had Russ. They were 47-35, then they were 48-34. This year, they're 49-33. Oh, that's funny. They're like,
yeah,
incrementally getting better, but still kind of,
And they have a guy averaging a triple-double for 2 years in a row. I have to think the front office looks at this and goes, you know, Donovan, you may have lost Durant, yes, but you've had opportunity after opportunity. You lost to Utah 1 year, and then you lost to Portland without a Nurkic the next year. The body of work doesn't bode well for you.
Well, this will be the third first-round loss in a row if they ultimately lose to Portland.
Exactly. Body of work doesn't speak well for Donovan. Just saying.
And they're three different opponents, too, because it was the Rockets 2 years ago. It was the Jazz last year. And this year, it's going to be the Blazers.
Yep.
So, yeah, good point. I hadn't even thought of that until you put it that way. But, yeah, you're right. If they lose in the first round, third year in a row, fail to get to 50 wins all those 3 years post Durant, even though they have Westbrook and they have Paul George for these 2 years. Yeah, you're making a good case.
So, all right, that's enough West talk. Let's move on to the Eastern Conference. Any surprises? I mean, let's rattle them off. What's the series situation?
Okay, Milwaukee's up 2-0 on Detroit, I mean. Toronto, they are tied with Orlando. That, to me, I don't know. I thought Orlando would be a tougher matchup for Toronto than people were expecting, but I was surprised they actually did get that road win. Philly's up 2-1 on Brooklyn, and then Boston's up 2-0 on Indiana. So, honestly, that's about what I thought they would do.
So, some notes to look at, and I didn't mention this in the Western talk. Golden State Warriors without Boogie for the rest of the playoffs. I don't know if that bothers them at all, because I think they've won. They haven't had him long enough to believe that they can win yet with or without him, so I don't think it matters. But in the East, you've got Embiid sat a game and does not look healthy and hasn't looked healthy since this series began. I'm not sure that I'm not sure Philly can go very deep.
Yeah, that's a good point on Embiid because he played 19 minutes in the game they won in game two.
Yeah.
And so he did sit for game three. So, yeah, they are not built to go very far. So they face the winner of Toronto-Orlando in the second round. I think Toronto will pull that off. And then I think just with Embiid's health, I think Toronto will run through them pretty easily.
Agreed. I mean, and you know, props to Ben Simmons. Not that I want to give him much props. He had a great night last night for them. 30-something points. Didn't shoot a single three, but he was 9 of 11 from the free throw line, I think. Had himself a really nice night, but he can't carry that team night in and night out. That's Embiid is the one who carries the load, and I don't think Simmons can do that night in and night out for them.
They're full of scorers. I mean, right. Tobias Harris had 29, J.J. Redick had 26. Jimmy Butler had a mere 16. I mean, they all did their job. And,
right.
You know, Boban was great when he came into the game. So they handled it well. I think they did exactly what they needed to do. They couldn't really do that much on defense against Brooklyn, so they just overwhelmed them with their offense.
Right. I'll be curious. This series could end up going the distance. I can't remember what we picked in this series, but this could go the distance. I mean, Brooklyn's played pretty well. Even in their losses, they've played pretty well.
Yeah, they clearly don't have the talent that Philly does, but they're just a more cohesive team. And, you know, they're going to give him fits. I think that'll continue, especially if Embiid has to miss more games.
Any other surprises? Well, there's really not a lot of surprises in the East.
No.
I think everything's shaken out about the way we expected. I thought Indiana would give up a bigger fight against Boston, but here we are 2-0 for Boston right now.
So, well, they've been close. I mean, they haven't been embarrassing. I think for game one, they won by 10, and where neither team could score. It's just that Boston's defense really came through for them.
Right. Okay. Well, that's the playoffs. Next week at this time, if we record, we'll be talking about the ends of series. If not, and we catch it a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about second round action anyway. Let's move on to other NBA news and notes. You wanted to look back real quick on our 2018-19 predictions. This is where Devin should be here because we're going to find out who won these predictions, I suppose.
Should we go ahead and do it, or should we wait for Devin to be here so he can react?
You know, I can always message him and see if he wants to be a part of this or not. He mentioned he had a few errands to take care of this morning. Let me message him real quick.
Okay. Why don't we just do the over-unders next week, and I'll just go over what our predictions were for the different awards. So,
okay.
In the finals, we all predicted that the Warriors would face the Celtics. That's
not looking good.
Probably not. Our dark horse for the West and East, we each picked the Jazz as the dark horse to emerge from the West, and we each picked Toronto as the dark horse to emerge from the East. Huh.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
So we were right on one of those. I don't know about the Jazz portion now that we're two games in, but Toronto is still a very good possibility, because I don't know that there's anybody else in the East besides Toronto that can match up against Milwaukee and get that far. I don't know.
Yeah, but bottom line is Milwaukee's.
Yeah.
I think we all knew Milwaukee would be good, but I didn't realize they'd be good.
No.
Let's see. MVP, Devin picked Kawhi, you picked AD, and I picked Giannis.
Looks like you're going to look good on that one.
I'm looking pretty good on that one. Our backup picks, Devin picked AD, you picked LeBron, and I picked LeBron. So I'm just glad I went with Giannis first.
LeBron had a good year, let's be fair, like 27 points a game over the course of the season, but we all saw where the Lakers went, so we don't even need to touch on that one.
Yeah. Defensive player of the year, we all picked Rudy. And then for our backup picks, we all went with Kawhi Leonard or Draymond Green.
Do we still see Rudy winning that award this year?
Since the votes are already in, yes. I don't think he'll win it as easily as he did last year. I think there are going to be guys who want to give it to Paul George, or who's the other one that emerged?
Giannis,
maybe Giannis. I think Giannis is going to get MVP, and therefore probably not as many defensive votes, just so they can spread it out.
Agreed.
That's my hunch, but we'll see. Coach of the year, I picked Snyder. It's not going to happen. You picked Stevens. I also doubt that that's going to happen. Devin picked Luke Walton, and who got fired. So
yeah. And now he's in Sacramento. We'll see how that goes for him.
And now he's in Sacramento. Backup coaches, he picked Stevens, you picked Snyder, and I picked Stevens. So, oh, well. Who do you think is actually going to win? I think Budenholzer has a pretty good case in Milwaukee to get it.
I have to believe he's going to get it. I don't think anybody else even compares to what he's done. 60 games, 60 wins again. He did that.
Yeah.
Didn't he win Coach of the Year when he won 60 wins
when
with Atlanta?
When he got 60 in Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to get it again.
I think he's your unanimous. I don't think anybody out there is equally as good right now.
Okay. Rookie of the Year. Devin and I picked Luka Doncic. And we had our backups as DeAndre Ayton. And then you picked Ayton with your backup as Luka.
Yeah, well, we saw how that turned out.
Yeah.
And sadly, Ayton isn't even in the conversation. It's clearly
no,
Luka.
He's had decent numbers, but the Phoenix is still one of the worst teams in the NBA. And Luka and Trae Young have obviously had bigger impacts. So I think it's
exactly.
going to be Luka, Trae Young, and, you know, Ayton might get third, but I think that's tier one, too. Okay.
Agreed.
Sixth man of the year. Devin and I picked Lou Williams. Probably, I think he'll get it again.
Who did I pick?
You picked Terry Rozier. That's not going to happen. He's really fallen off this year. Surprising.
Yes, he has. But you're right. And with the numbers that Lou has put up this year, and what he's doing in the playoffs, it's hard not to believe that he doesn't deserve it again.
Yeah. I can't even think of who else it would be. Maybe.
I mean, I don't know.
And they're bringing LeVert off the bench in Brooklyn. He's missed a lot of games. Never mind.
Yeah, he had that stretch where he missed games. So I don't know if you can even put LeVert in that conversation.
Yeah. Your backup was Lou Williams. Devin's backup was Marcus Smart. And my backup was Kyle Kuzma.
You know who we could have put in there is Schrader. Maybe.
That would have been a good prediction. I don't think he's going to be in the talks.
No, I still think it's Lou. And especially with, again, the Clippers made it to the playoffs when everybody wrote them off after the trade deadline. And I think that is big part of that is on Lou Williams. So I think Lou's going to get it. That's unanimous in my opinion.
Still can't believe he resigned with the Clippers for so little
money. Yeah, right.
Dang. And if the Jazz had Lou Williams.
Oh, they'd be so sweet right now.
I just sigh and dream. Let's see. Lou is averaging 20 points a game.
Right.
Off the bench. Okay. Most improved player, you picked Dante Exum.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Your backup was Brandon Ingram. Devin and I both picked Brandon Ingram. That's not going to happen.
Nope.
Sure right now who it will be, but it's not him. His backup was Fultz, big nope. Mine was Zach LaVine, big nope. Man, I don't even know. Who would be most improved? Montrezl Harrell, maybe? He's had quite an impact this season.
I'm trying to think of the other teams and who has impacted, who's had their, clearly their better.
Whose stock
you know,
is clearly just launched this year.
I don't know.
Someone on San Antonio, maybe? Derek White, maybe? I don't know.
What about DJ Augustine?
DJ Augustine would be good. Maybe Aaron Gordon. He took a leap this year.
I don't know that there's a clear-cut winner in this category. I just don't think there's a clear-cut winner. There's too many guys. I mean, too many guys that we can't think of, but we've just mentioned two guys right off the bat who both had better seasons. And DJ Augustine comes to mind just because of what he's been doing in the playoffs, but they don't even go off the playoffs alone. But I have to believe he's had a good season for Orlando. But Orlando's been an improved team. And look at that. You got two guys on the same team that are legitimate contenders for that award. So I don't know.
Yeah. The last one was Executive of the Year. Devin picked Magic Johnson. You picked Rob Pelinka. I picked Sam Presti.
We all failed at that. We have all failed. Presti might only, like I said, Presti's going to fire Donovan, and then we'll see where that goes. But I'm just.
Where did Masai Ujiri go?
I don't remember.
Where is he at right now? He is with Toronto still, right?
Who did I pick as my dark horse on it?
We all picked Ujiri as our dark horse with Toronto, and I think he probably actually will get it.
Do you know who I think is going to get it?
Who?
Elton Brand.
Oh, yeah.
Why not? Yep. Look at what he did with the Sixers. I think Elton Brand is at the top of that list.
That's a good point. Yeah, so I don't know. I think with all the turnover they had and with how well it's been working out, I like Ujiri's chances, but I think you're right. Brand got the bigger names and had the big splash.
And, I mean, I'll even go a step further. I Morey hasn't done all that bad for Houston this year either, and he's had a couple of decent pickups, not the marquee names that they got in Philly, but he's done a decent job with Houston, and they're right back in the thick of things again.
Yeah.
But, no, I think it's going to be Brand. I absolutely think so. So. is that it on our predictions conversation?
Yep.
Okay.
We'll do over-under next week.
All right. Since Devin's not here, we're not going to do quick hits. Let's just move into our final segment, pop culture. What do you want to talk about this week?
I saw an indie movie this week called The Mustang. Okay. Filmed in Nevada, really low budget. Actors not a lot of people are familiar with. It did have Bruce Dern in it and Jason Mitchell, who's best known currently as the guy who played Eazy-E in Straight Outta Compton. But it stars Matthias Schoenaerts, and I'm not sure if that's how you say his name. He's one of those guys where you see him and he looks familiar, but it's hard to place where you saw him from. I most recently remember seeing him in Red Sparrow with Jennifer Lawrence, but not a lot of people saw that movie. But Schoenaerts, he plays a convict at a prison, and the prison has a system where some of the inmates can work with the wild horses. They capture wild Mustangs, they bring them to the prison, and then they help break them, and then they auction them off. And so he's given the chance to go ahead and work with this program, and he's kind of able to get in touch with his humanity a little more by working with them, and it's very well acted. Cinematography is great. They do a lot with very little with their settings and locations. There's a couple plot holes in there that I think the problem is that it's directed by a French woman, and I think if it had had an American director, they would have had a better sense on how exactly horse training works and just some different logic pieces. But you know, beyond that, overall, it's just a really well acted movie and pretty powerful. And I just wish it had gotten those details better. It would have been that much more impactful.
Nice. All right. So again, that was called The Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally saw Shazam. Took the family on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed it very much. So it's easily one of my favorite DC films. So really liked it a lot. Also, I don't know what we talked about last week in regards to this, but I finished Love, Death, and Robots. Love, Death, and Robots. Finally finished it.
It's good, huh?
Yeah, it is. Surprisingly, really good. And it's not just because the animation is good in all of it either. I mean, the animation was fantastic, but there are some really, really good stories, storytelling and whatnot. But just, yeah, I enjoyed it very much so. I had a few favorites, you know, like I said, Three Robots made me laugh a lot. Now I'm going to go look while we're talking, cause I can't remember. The Ice Age. Is that what it was called?
The Ice Age. Oh, yeah, and the freezer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my
gosh.
That
was really good.
Yeah, I loved that one. I thought it was hilarious and really good. Sunny's Edge, the very first one.
Uh-huh.
Really gory, but holy crap. I liked that one a lot. Let's see. Suits. I liked Suits a lot. The Dump one was interesting. 10 minutes, but very interesting. I don't even know how else to describe that one. Lucky 13, I think that's the first one you suggested, was one of my favorites. And then, okay, Alternate Histories. John, that one was weird.
Which one was that?
That's
one?
The one. That's the one where you saw the Hitler
dying. Oh, is that the Hitler one?
A different way. Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
It was, some of the options they chose to tell the story just kind of was like, what?
Yeah.
like the where he died from having a marathon of sex with the prostitutes, and then they explain those prostitutes were either trained or came from another like dimension. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So yeah, Love, Death, and Robots. Really liked it. So if anybody hasn't watched that on Netflix yet, we've talked enough of it over the last three episodes. You need to just take some time to watch it. They're shorts, so it's a quick binge watch. It'll take you all of a couple of hours and you'll be done. So can't think of anything else on pop culture. Oh, are you going to FanX?
No.
You usually go. I'm surprised.
I know. I usually do, but not this year.
Okay.
Unless someone throws free tickets at me, I'm probably going to just miss the whole thing.
Well, I might see. I'm heading out to get my tickets this morning, and they usually give the guests extra tickets for people. So maybe if they give me an extra set of tickets, I'll holler at you, and you can have one. Got to see what they're going to give away. So, but I will be there. I'm not going to be there. Today is Friday. Saturday, I'll be there. So, folks, hopefully I get this episode out beforehand, but Idiots Array Star Wars Podcast is doing a live show Saturday, 4 o'clock. Come on out and check us out. Otherwise, it's just I'm not even excited to be at the event. It just – I don't know. There's not a lot of headliners either. John Cleese, if you like John Cleese, he'll be there. Linda Carter and the two stars from – Shazam, but beyond that, Alice Cooper. Anybody care about Alice Cooper?
Great cameo in Wayne's World.
Yes, this is true. So anyway, that's what I'll be doing Saturday the 20th. So otherwise, that's about it. That's a quick show. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. Devin, we missed you again this week, but folks, check us out Facebook, Twitter, Jedi and Germs. Join our discussion. Download our latest episodes. Share with your friends, family. We'd love to have you and have some reviews as well. So leave a review on iTunes for us. Thank you all so much. We'll talk to you real soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.